All right, welcome. Today we have a very special guest, Penny Shepherd. I'm so excited that she is here with us, and welcome, Penny, to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm really excited for this connection. I think you have so much value to share with my audience, and I don't even know where to start because there's so many things that we could, so many different places we could go. But I think what I'd like to do is have you start with the beginning of your story, and we can kind of just let that organically unfold, because your story is so, so you have such a unique story to the public, but maybe not so unique as in, I think that there's people who have had similar experiences than you that don't know that, you know, that have yet to discover. I know personally, I've had some interesting things that I've unpacked in the last year or two. And I don't want to talk about that today because I really want this to be a focus on you. But I would love for you to start at the beginning, Penny, and kind of tell us who you are. Tell people about your work life, because I think that's something people will find really interesting because, you know, you were in the limelight. And if you could just jump in and wherever you feel called to start, let's get to know you a little bit and have you share your story at the very beginning. So hold on, folks. This is going to be a really interesting ride. So welcome, Penny.
Thank you. I'll start with where I actually finally started breaking through from MK Ultra, which is in March of 2016, believe it or not. I was at the age of, 58. I left my husband, who was a retired Carlsbad sergeant, Carlsbad in Southern California, in San Diego. His dad was a sheriff, and he was actually the historian for the San Diego Sheriff's Museum, which is an old town. So it was a family of sheriffs. I later on found out that his father actually was a pedophile, and I believe that the entire family, they were Freemasons, but these things were hidden from me. When I left my husband, he had told me that if I left him, I would be thrown in a crazy house, I would be thrown in jail, and I would be made homeless. And all those things happened to me because this is a unique protocol. So when I left, I went and I stayed with my aunt, and I found out that my aunt, who actually wasn't my real aunt, she was my mother's lover, my mother was gay, I found out that that family, which the last name is Manger, are actually the Mengeles, as in Joseph Mengele, who was Hitler's scientist. I then went to my brother's house, my brother Rob, who lives in Illinois, and found out that he basically is NSA, and that he actually knew this other gentleman who was my agent. I've had agents. I'm a singer, a writer. I was in the entertainment industry for almost half a century. So I sound really old, right? I'm 60. I'll be 64 August 11th.
Yeah, you don't look your age. So you definitely have to share with the audience how old you are if they're watching the video, because no one would guess that, Penny, ever. Okay.
So good lighting, makeup, and hair color.
I don't think that's all that. I've seen you without makeup on. But Just to interject here a little bit, you know, for those who don't know who Joseph Mengele is, if you could share that.
Joseph Mengele was Hitler's scientist. Everyone knows who Hitler is, but unfortunately, somehow in our school system, they negated to tell you who Joseph Mengele was, which I find horrific. Joseph Mengele was at Auschwitz, and not just Auschwitz, he was overseeing the concentration camps. And when people got off the train, he met them at the train, and he would look at the people and he would point, you survive, you go to the gas chambers, and you get experimented on. He particularly loved twins. So he did horrific, horrific experiments. But he was also working in conjunction with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They were doing eugenics since the 20s.
And you have twins in your family too, right?
Pardon?
You have twins in your family?
Not that I know of. No. No twins that I know of in my family. Although I believe that I was pregnant with twins.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hinting at. So,
purportedly it skips a generation. No one in my family had twins, but actually that's not true. My father was a twin. my fake father was a twin. So his name was Thomas, his middle name was Ball. So Thomas Ball was a fraternal twin. And, you know, I'm not exactly even sure who that family was, but I knew from childhood that my last name was not my last name. And at one point, both my brothers, I thought that they were just saying, you know, that they disassociated themselves with my father. They both said that my father wasn't their father. And one of my brothers now, his name was David. He's dead. He was murdered on a high satanic holiday.
He was a whistleblower, wasn't he a whistleblower?
He wrote a book entitled The Whistleblower, which will never see the light of day. No one will ever see it. It's gone. There's a copy of it on the copyright office. If I want it, I will have to sue the copyright office. But that's not actually my priority at this point, because I promised my brother David that I would continue pursuing what he pursued. And that's what I'm doing. So his book was about the Vatican, about Bush, and about my evil family, who I came to find out that the family that I grew up with was not actually my family. I'm not sure how I became part of this family. I believe I was either given to them at the hospital, or that through IVF, in vitro fertilization, I was implanted either in Joseph Mengele's wife, was Irene Schoenbein, but she had divorced Joseph by that time. Then he married Martha Mengele, who was his brother's widow. He married her July 17th, 1958, and I was born August 11th, 1958. So they were doing these Boys from Brazil experiments, and they were creating, Joseph Mengele created a twin town of all these twins. They love twins because of their psychic abilities. So is it possible that I might have actually been a twin with someone? Yes, it is. It's possible that that they made us all like you would make muffins in a muffin tin and make a dozen muffins. They make a dozen babies, and they clone them from, what they can actually do is, if you watch The Boys from Brazil, if you haven't watched The Boys from Brazil, and they explain to you, they take the ovum, they take all of the DNA out of the ovum, and then they can put in there the select DNA that they want. So if they were cloning Hitler, or they're cloning Joseph Mengele, they would have a DNA sample of him, and then they would be able to create a zygote with an electric impulse, then that's how they actually activate it. So I believe there are many boys from Brazil that were created like upon thousands, and I believe that the person that I found out was my brother is one of those.
What I find really interesting about this, just as a personal note, is I grew up in a really rural area, and I knew of at least three different sets of twins in a very, very small area, that all lived within, like, I'd say 10 miles of me. So I just find that really fascinating when you talk about twins, because I grew up with that just being very common. Twins were everywhere, really.
Across the street from us, they were called Sharon and Karen. And I came to find out that where I was raised, I was born in Hollywood Memorial Hospital in Hollywood, Florida. And Hollywood, Florida is a sister city to Hollywood, California. But I believe that the place that I lived, Ives Estates, was actually a paperclip project. There were a lot of Germans there. There were twins there. So it was like a farming town. It was called it was off of Ives Dairy Road, off the 95 in Florida. It's called Ives Estates. And I believe that was a selected Germanic project, which was essentially built for the specific purpose of hiding individuals, covert operatives within this area. So I actually found out that they're making movies about us. And I found out that there's a little girl named Eleven in Netflix Stranger Things, and that's actually me. Now, while that is me, I'm not the inspiration of the Duffer brothers. They don't even know I exist, but I am the actual real 11. So I'm trying to figure out how they know so much about me. I was pregnant in 1983, in May of 1983, and they took those viable fetuses. They had the ability then, which doctors will say they didn't, to utilize an artificial womb. They've just come out now with an artificial womb, meaning they've had this advanced technology, but not available to the public or even to doctors in the scientific community. And so I was pregnant in May, and they took the babies, I think, in July. the Duffer brothers were born in February. Now, am I going to go out there and say, hey, they're absolutely my twin boys that I knew that I had with blue eyes and dark brown hair, or dark black hair is what I saw? No, I'm not going to say that. But I do wonder how they know so much about me. And I know that they don't know me. They don't know I exist, but yet they're writing, literally writing about my life. And so it's a little disconcerting to try and put it all together. You know, many people will find it incredulous. I have a blog. It's Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D, and then the word entertainment.blogspot.com. And I have a chapter called The Green Minds. An individual in Canada wanted to write about me and said, hey, you are 11 in Stranger Things. He said, I'd like to do some documentaries on you. He said, you know, about 6 minutes. I'm like, I can't do this in 6 minutes. So I'll just write you, post a bunch of threads so that you can look at them and you can understand that's actually me. And I found this out after I had been declared enemy of the state. So let's go back. When I left my husband in March of 2016, and also God had told me I was going to be writing later on in life. Never thought it was going to be this, but I've talked to Jesus my entire life as a child. And that's the only person I've ever reached out to, Jesus and God. And they have held my back. And I remember when I was like five, I had a business card that said I work for God. So, you know, that hasn't changed. I still have a business card. It doesn't say I work for God, but I did get a little thing. And it's on another little necklace that said I work for the G-O-D. I work for God. Again, some things never change. So I've been a writer since I was a child. Let's go back to March of 2016 when I left my husband, and then I started doing research and I started finding out. I asked my agent, well, I'd gotten back in touch with one of my agents. I said, why do you look like Joseph Mengele? Why do I look like Irene Shumby and Mary Joseph Mengele? And why does my murdered brother David, who wrote a book entitled The Whistleblower about Bush, the Vatican, and about my family, why does he look like Rolf, their son? Every time I see Rolf, Rolf's still alive. Rolf was born, Joseph Mengele was born March 16th, 1911. And then his son, Rolf, was born March 16th, 33 years later. And then my brother, David, was born August 3rd, 1955. And then this person who was my agent, I found out is my brother, he was born March 19th, 1955. I'd never say his last name, but I referred to him as John. And John was my agent, and he had an affair with me in the 90s. In 2017, I talked to my very first husband, whose name was Steve Zenos. And by the way, Zenos means stranger. So I was literally Mrs. Stranger. And it's just so ridiculous, right? I was Mrs. Stranger, and I had a band named Stranger, you know. And then when I left him, I became the ex. Everyone called him Mr. X or Dr. X because he was a psychologist, but he wasn't practicing, but he did practice at one point, and he ran his family's practice. They were psychologists, marriage, family, crisis counselors for 38 years. And I believe they actually worked with Jolie West. Jolie West was an MP Ultra, a psychologist. He killed an elephant with LSD to show you how nefarious and evil this guy was. He also worked with Margaret Singer. They both worked with Cindy Gottlieb, who was head of biowarfare. And they also worked with Alan Dulles, who Alan Dulles was the head of the CIA under JFK. And JFK fired him. And JFK said he was going to smash the CIA into a million pieces. I think he found out.
I just want to stop you for just a second, just to interject here and point out how we're really starting to come to the awareness that television shows, that movies are really exposing truths and are being used to control the public opinion and to steer them into thinking that things, because they're on TV, that they're fantasy or are not true, or that we start to see the perspective of the villain and support the villain in the role that they're playing through the perspective of that show. So we're trauma bonding, in many ways to the characters, how they portray them on TV. And, you know, through WikiLeaks, through whistleblowers, through people who are discovering these things, that these truths are really starting to become clear. Yes. And, you know, and the admittance actually of people stating, you know, the CIA stating that they're in Hollywood. So I just wanted to really speak to that while we were on topic here. I know you got so much to say, and, you know, well,
primary example would be Zelensky. Okay. Who is the president of Ukraine. Zelensky had a television program called Servant of the People, in which he was a comedian that gets elected president. Do you think that that's just like a standing joke? Or do you think it was actually propaganda that he was working in conjunction with what I call the military industrial entertainment complex? Okay, it's the MEEK instead of just the military industrial complex. It works hand in hand with the military industrial entertainment complex. They are the Mockingbird Media. They are the DOJ, the military industrial complex encompasses a great deal of governmental factions, and they work hand in hand to promote propaganda. Okay, so when you're looking at this guy as a hero, servant of the people, he's a comedian and he's a hero, then he propagandizes everyone in his region, and then they think it's a good idea. Hey, let's put this guy for president. This was designed. It wasn't just an accident. It wasn't just, oh, look at that. What a coincidence. No, this was a grand design to put this individual in power. So when you're looking at movies, you're looking at overt and covert subliminal messages, which are passed through satanic references and coded words, in which they code MK Ultras, which an MK Ultra is an individual who has been mind controlled, which I say that actually applies to the entire world. Now, there are many different kinds of MKUltras. There are MKUltras who were designed from birth. They were used as psychic spies. Some were used as remote viewers. Some were used as infiltrators for sex espionage, utilizing sex in the entertainment industry to do spycraft. Some, it was unbeknownst to them. So
The sex beta kitties, is that what you mean by the sex beta?
That's part of one of many levels of programming. So okay. Yes, Marilyn Monroe was the poster child for beta sex kitten programming. And the beta sex kitten programming is most identifiable when you see the leopard skin. You see these, I was all into the leopard thing.
It's me a leopard too. I have so much leopard skin. Like, I love the leopard print. That is the one print that I have always been drawn to. That's so funny. Okay. Well, funny, not funny. But anyway.
That's sex programming. And it's international, by the way. So this is not like, oh, it's just America, or oh, it's just Russia, or oh, it's just, this is international. And it is a club of New World Order regime, which I would say, it's the New World Order has been in existence for, you know, centuries, since man enslaved man on this planet. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about enslavement through mind control. If you control the mind, you control the body, and you control everything thereafter. So I've written also a chapter on satanic pastors, because I know many of the huge mega pastors personally. And if you take a look at what they're doing, their Jesus is not my Jesus. Their Jesus is Cash App Jesus. So they're going to, like Paula White, who's now actually, she's married to Jonathan Cain, who my brother represents, Journey as well. She's Paula White Cain. So she's actually a Canaanite. And at one point she had said, she did this prayer that we should abort all the satanic babies. I'm like, really? And I had talked to her on DM, and you don't even want to know what that conversation was. It was bad. But when you're charging people for prayer, you don't need any intercessors. You don't need a pastor to tell you what God is saying to you. This is my opinion. My opinion is that if you have something that you need to say to God, you talk to him here, right now, anytime in the day or the night. You have that connection to God. You don't need to be in a church to talk to God. You don't need to have a pastor tell you what God said to you, because he knew you when you were knit in your mother's womb. I think you can talk to him without paying for prayer. You don't need to pay anybody for prayer. These people are the Pharisees that are out there And they're not only are they acquiring your finances, but they're acquiring your mind. They're telling you who to vote for, who not to vote for, what to wear, who to marry. You know, these are things that these are alternate forms of mind control. Now, when you get deeper into what MKUltra is involving, you find out that there's dissociative identity disorder and multiple personality disorder through the individuals who have been primed for this, either because they're going to put them in the entertainment industry and they want to control the brand and they're making money off of you. It's all about money. Money is the false god, the false idol. So while you're out there idolizing these musicians and these Pharisees, these illicit pastors who you're finding out are sex trafficking your children, and they're living in mansions while many people go homeless and without food, and they're dying in the streets. While, you know, you could, if you wanted to, you could actually tithe your money where you want it to go, as opposed to you give that tithe to the church and that the elder board decides where that money's going to go. So part of it's going to go into the pockets of those Pharisees that are sex trafficking your children, and they're living in these mansions, buying yachts. You know, you see somebody like Kenneth Copeland, who effective, as far as I can tell, the man's a demon. And you look at these individuals that are, they're making money off of you. Control your life.
I look at Kenneth Copeland and I equate him to Bill Gates.
They're just a different
vein of the same. The
charlatans. Okay. There are absolute charlatans. He did an interview with a woman from ET and he's like literally trying to spell her with his hands. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this guy's face. He literally looks like a demon. And she's asking, do you think it's right that you should have, you know, these jets to fly everywhere and, you know, mega properties and at your disposal. And of course they justify all the things that they're doing. I think that when they die, Jesus will say, I never knew you. You did all those miracles or whatever in my name, you know, and collected funds like all the Pharisees. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. That's just my premise. So back to MKUltra. So when I left my husband in March of 2016, and I started researching, and then I started finding out more and more things about myself, I became declared enemy of the state. Under James Clapper. James Clapper was still, I think it happened under James Clapper because this was in 2016. So Trump hadn't run for office yet. And I ended up after my husband, Steve Zenos, who was my first husband, I've been married twice, but I've lived with people before. And Steve, I called him and he told me that my second agent, John, who I slept with, was my brother, my biological brother. And I pretty much lost it. When I spoke with John, I said, you and I are related through the Baumgartner name. And he said, well, not all Baumgartners are related. And when the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, I know something's very wrong. And the hairs on the back of my neck stood up and I got angry. And I said, well, actually they are related. They're genealogically linked through the clan name. Now, are they blood related? No. And then because I found out that my grandmother's name was Baumgartner. And then when I started doing a little research on his family, I found out he adopted a daughter named Baumgartner. And then his natural daughter married a Baumgartner. And then he said, well, we don't have any Baumgartners in the family. And I was like, really? He just lied to me. And I said, your natural daughter married a Baumgartner. He says, oh, she divorced him. Oh, so now you don't have any Baumgartners in the family other than your adopted Baumgartner. So you see, this is what they do. And he will never admit that he's my brother. But I was told that by my first husband, who I didn't even know that these people knew one another. I didn't even know that they knew one another for like 58 years. So after he told me that, 3 weeks later, he died. Steve died of a heart attack. So that was Steve Zenos, Dr. Stranger, Dr. X. And I was Mrs. Stranger, Mrs. X. I lived in Ives Estates. The character's name is Jane Ives, as in Jane Doe from Ives. Cosbolt also was from Ives, Norwegian Ives. James Cosbolt was a super soldier. He wrote a book called Agent Buried Alive. It's free. It's a PDF. As far as I know, he's still in a UK jail, but it's my opinion that he actually works for the Vatican. So he has a hit list of 40 names on that hit list. And Max Spears was one of those people. So Max is dead now. And James is in jail. As far as I know, he could have gotten out and you know, been somewhere else. I'm in contact with a woman that he lived with for about 3 months. It was his, you know, girlfriend for about 3 months. And she doesn't talk to him anymore either. But she's a plethora of information. So I started researching. And then I got locked up in a crazy house for a year because I was enemy of the state. And I was told by a handler who sex trafficked me out of there. He said, you don't know what you know until you know it. And I was like, really? More platitudes? But he was right. I didn't know what I knew. And then when I started researching, and before this happened, the person that took my brother's last script, the screenplay of Whistleblower, it's the only thing I had left, he took it. And he said, do you want to end up like Snowden and Assange? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why would I end up like Snowden and Assange? I don't work for the CIA. I don't work for the DIA. I don't work for the NSA. You know, I'm a singer, for God's sake. And I've done many other things other than just be a singer. But that was my primary vocation. And then I took on other vocations to supplement that vocation.
I'm going to pause you right here, honey, just to give the audience a moment to just to process everything, because for anyone who hasn't heard your story, I know your mind is blown at this point because there's so many oddities and connections. And it's just, you know, hearing your story, I mean, I've heard it a few times already. And, you know, once you absorb all the information, it's just astounding how you can connect the dots, right? And so just to kind of do a quick summary, just to give people a minute to just process that information, you know, Penny didn't know any of these things happened. You know, she was working in Hollywood as a cover band, right? You had relationships. Your first husband, you didn't really know, I don't think, the magnitude of what he was a part of. And this, you know, your second husband, you didn't have any idea at the time, just the chaos that ensued within that relationship either. And it wasn't until you were 58 years old that some of these memories started to break free and you started putting connections together and then doing research, which if you didn't know, if this is the first time you've ever heard of Penny Shepherd, this woman is just the most incredible researcher that anyone probably on the planet. She really knows, her brain is super fast. I've had people tell me I'm really quick. And after a conversation with Penny, it took me 2 days to just process. My neurons were on fire. It was just so much information, and she's quick, she's fast, she puts it together. She's just a very highly educated, quick-witted person. And, you know, once she started getting some of these repressed memories back, holy moly, you know, things, you know, the fact that you could put all this together and to share it with us, and to see this big picture, you know, when I've taught classes in the past, one of my favorite thing is to say, God sees us from a 30,000 foot view. You know, he sees the big picture. And, you know, sometimes we have to walk in faith because God is, you know, God's just showing us a little bit at a time. But, you know, Penny, we haven't been friends for long, but what I know about you is that you have an incredible overview. You can really see, you know, probably not as, I'm not saying you can see as high as God can see, but you know, you really know how to capture it. That's a gift that he gave you, is to see everything from a higher view. Yes. And so as you're unpacking this, right, and sharing, like, you're starting to get these memories, you're starting to do the research, you're starting to have these moments where you're seeing the connections. How did you move from that step? Like, what did you do? I mean, I just want to say, you've been attacked. You've been put into a mental institution. Like, your identity has been attacked, right? Your finances are probably being attacked. You know, you're being pursued to be shut up, right? So can we start from there and just, I want the audience to really understand the strength and the tenacity that you have.
When I left my husband, I'd been drugged for like over 12 years. I had a team of doctors drugging me. I had to learn how to walk and talk all over again. And I had to learn, I got erased from pretty much everything, from technology, from everything that I ever knew. I had to relearn everything again. I was walking on a walker in adult diapers.
It's almost like if someone who came out of a coma would have, they would have
that's
to
relearn. That's how I refer to it as.
Yeah.
I refer to it as I was in a coma for the majority of my life, even though I wasn't, you know, laying down in a bed. Although at one point I was in a bed for almost 4 years. As they were drugging me and just erasing me, primarily because I walked away from John and I walked away from the industry. When I was researching, I had to go back to the very beginning of, you know, I started, how did they start with post-traumatic stress? Who was the doctor that was experimenting on people? Donald Ewan Cameron, who was the head of the World Psychological Association. So I went way back because I had studied psychology when I was in like 10th grade. And all the people that I found that were people that we revered were actually these complicit evil individuals. So, you know, Sigmund Freud, who was the father of psychoanalysis, was a pedophile and a cocaine addict. And so when you start researching these people who I had gone to psychiatrists and psychologists majority of my life, because when you're in the entertainment industry, if you don't have a psychologist or a psychotherapist and they're like, hey, what's wrong with you? Why don't you have somebody that you're talking to? Because you're doing in-depth analyses of certain characters. So as an actress, I'm a trained actress and I've been trained since childhood. But I also attended New York University. I studied under Stella Adler. Stella Adler trained Marlon Brando and Robert De Niro. But when I go to start looking at the precepts of who they studied under Stanislavski, who was the originator of method acting. Then I look to Stanislavski. Well, what does Stanislavski do? And Stanislavski, that wasn't even his name, but he was Russian. And he was funded by Lenin. And it took him 40 years to develop the method acting, but method acting actually is Russian mind control. So you have the acting arena, which is literally training you how to be a spy. It's training you how to infiltrate. It's training to actors are spies. So actors are, your presidents are actors. So Ronald Reagan said, I could not do this job unless I was an actor. And he's right. So you have these spokesmen that are out there that are well adept at media machinations and doing whatever it takes to get their message across and manipulate you through mind control. So manipulation is mind control. If they're manipulating the story, then they're manipulating you and you're following into their mind control. So you have a myriad of different manipulators. You have doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. You have your military. You have people that are in your own family that are military and secret in these secret societies, which you don't know that. So while I focused on my story and I know who I am and I don't need any verification, people are like, that's crazy. Hey, that's all right. You can think it's crazy, but I know the truth now and I don't need anyone to verify or say that's not you or that's, you know, insane or whatever. I know the truth. It's taken me majority of my life. I'll be 64 August 11th. So, you know, you have your right to your opinion. But this was my life. I lived this life. So I can testify as to my life and what I lived. That's why I tell people you need to now research who you are. As far as I'm concerned, I'm an infinitesimal little grain of sand on the beaches of this earth that's inconsequential. My life actually not consequential to your life. My life is my life. However, if I can help you research your life and find out that, you know, some of the things, the little tips and things that I found out to lead me to my answers, then I will be more than happy to do that for you. But I will not take responsibility for doing your research. I'm just going to throw you out some little cards. And if you want to pick them up and research and go from that point, then that's okay. If you don't, that's okay too. I made a prayer in 2015 and I said, God, please reveal myself to me. And I basically laid down to die. I'd been with this individual for 25 years. I lived with him for 5 years. I was married to him for 21 years in 2017. In 2018, he died. And I thank God he died because he was very evil. So, you know, I'm what you call a merry widow. I'm happy that this individual is no longer on this planet to hurt other people. And so, you know, my journey, again, is my journey. If I can help you in your journey, if I can give you some little pinpoints or everything, you need to actually take the initiative. My prayer was, God, please reveal myself to me. That's a very potent prayer. If you want to know who you are, maybe you might want to pray that prayer. And I did, and I'm telling you, when I prayed that prayer, because I've talked to God my whole life. So many people are like, hey, we are Q. Where we go one, we go all. And I said, well, you know, I don't follow Q. And where we go one, we don't go all. Where I went, Jesus went. Where I went, God was there. He was where we go one, we go all. That was Jesus and God, not Q.
That's right. And so I just want to point out here too, that, you know, we need people, you know, people need people like you who went forward in learning to do the research. So, and pave the way so that people understand how to do the research, you know, and understand how to get out of it. Because, you know, as the veil gets lifted, some people need direction on what to do next. Cause some people are, you know, deer in headlights, frozen, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, guys. This is an interesting story, but, you know, I can speak from personal testimony that, you know, I couldn't make up the things that have happened to me and the things that I'm unpacking now. I couldn't make it up, you know, how the connections go. And, you know, that's part of my mission too in life. I feel like God's got a purpose for me to share, you know, and give people a voice and a platform to get that voice and to take back the lamb, you know, like we are God's children. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't, like, everywhere they've cast us as sheeple and everyone, you know, they've made being part of God's kingdom, you know, something to be embarrassed about. And I want to take that back. And, this is how we do it, is we get together with community. So just for final words, we're going to have you back. Will you come back? Cause I think we're at the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even gotten to what's behind the water yet. We've got so much to uncover here, but, some final words, Penny, maybe just wrapping up where we are now. And this very beginning of the story that's, you know, that I've heard. So I know how big it goes. So, if you could just, you know, send us out with some wisdom and in a little bit more of your story to lead us to the next segment.
I would just tell people, if you want to find out who you are, because this didn't just happen to me. I wasn't the only one that it was erased. I wasn't the only one that have memories that are coming back or that have missing time. And they talked about that in the X-Files, you know, missing time. The X-Files are real, by the way. But if you want to know, I suggest that you cultivate your relationship, your personal relationship with God and with Jesus, and you just talk on a daily basis. And then, you know, pray that prayer. If you don't want to know, you can go your entire life and remain asleep. That's entirely to you. But if you do want to know, then pray that prayer, and that people will come into your life that will assist you in finding out who that was. And you have to be dedicated and prolific. This is not a mission that you can do in 5 minutes and then go, you know, play hockey somewhere. This is a lifelong endeavor in which you endeavor to find out who you are. And then if God tells you that that's your mission to disclose and to whistleblow as you're finding out, then, you know, I always do what God tells me to do. So, you know, I don't listen to man. When God tells me to do a certain thing, I do that. So when I was praying, I didn't know what my last name was. After I left John, who was my agent, I was at Emmanuel Faith and I was praying. I said, God, can you please tell me what my name is? I'm in my 30s. And he said, your name is Shepherd. Go down and change it at the courthouse and never change it again. So I went down to the courthouse. I changed it. I went to my second husband, who was to be my second husband. I said, God told me to change my name to Shepherd, but I spelled it S-H-E-P-A-R-D. I think I spelled my name wrong. And he says, how did you spell your name wrong if that's not your name? I said, oh no, that's my name. That's what God told me my name is. So I changed it and I never changed it again. I was going to do a country tour in a band called Way Out West. Now, 30 years later, a an orchestra leader asked me to represent him in Chicago. And so I say, God, what should I call this? Because I talk to God about everything. He's my best friend. I say, what should I call this endeavor? He says, call it Shepherd Entertainment Endeavors. Now, if I had changed my, if I hadn't done what he told me to do in the 90s, and I didn't know what it meant, I hadn't done that. And I changed my name when I got married to Van Hooser, then he would have said, call it Van Hooser Entertainment Endeavors, right? It would have been V-E-E. Instead, it was S-E-E. See? Jose, can you see? And so I was like, oh, wow, I like that acronym, God, thank you. And then later on, I found out that my brother John brokered a deal for the Crystal Cathedral, which went to the Vatican, which the Vatican is called the Holy See, which is the unholy see. But my see is open your eyes and see. I never incorporated, never DBA'd. That's just what God said, call it. So it's just an endeavor. I'm not, I don't make money off of any of the things that I do. I do what I do for free. I help people for free. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, please text my phone, say who you are or what your dilemma is. If there's anything that you think that I might be able to help you with, I won't answer unless you're in my contacts. My phone number is area code 619-779-9771. If you want to get in touch with me with email, it's Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D. So I didn't spell it S-H-E-P-A-T-R-D. It's S-H-E-P-A-R-D, which, by the way, it's the French spelling of Shepherd. And I found out that the Shepherds married into my family and they spelled their name S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D and they changed it to S-H-E-P-A-R-D. When God tells you to do something, I do it personally. You know, I do what God tells me to do. I don't listen to man. So if you want to contact me by email, it's S-H-E-P-A-R-D, the word entertainment at gmail.com. If you want to take a look at my blog, I've got some like 36 or 35 chapters on there where I'm doing work to expose Hollywood, which is called Hollywood. So I go by Agent X11 because I was married to Dr. Zeno. So Agent X and I am 11. So I go by Agent X11, Hollywood Dark Journalist. I'm also on Dave Zublik's show on Fridays between 10 and 1. Sometimes I'm on at 11. So you can find me there. He's on the Dark Outpost. It's on Rumble. And then if you want to find my blog, it's Shepherd and the word entertainment.blogspot.com. And my website is Shepherd with a hyphen, the word entertainment.com, but it's not as updated. And that's pretty much it.
Wow. That is so great. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to continue this. yeah, I love the fact that, you know, you're speaking out and you're sharing your story and you're giving people encouragement, me included, to do the research, to get, you know, get the courage to look at all of the things that are happening and to put the pieces together. It, you know, some of the stuff is easily discarded because you think, how could this be connected to that? But the truth is that, you know, the things that you think are not connected turn out to be the most substantial. So thank you, Penny. We're going to call it here for today, but I can't wait to have you on again. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of conversation and comments on this one. So you guys who are listening, feel free to ask and we will see you next time, Penny.